Matthew 21, the message is a baptism from heaven. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one question, which, if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why then did you not believe him? Luke chapter 7, verse 29. And all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. And again, chapter 8 of Acts. We have two accounts of baptisms in Acts chapter 8. I had one read to you, and I will read you a little bit of the other. Philip has gone down to Samaria. He has preached the word of God. The Lord has worked mightily, and when they are converted, it says in verse 12, 8:12, But when they believed Philip preaching good tidings, the gospel, concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon, this is Simon the sorcerer, also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. And then Peter and John come down and pray and lay hands on these converts, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 17, Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast sought to attain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord that perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, Pray ye for me to the Lord, that none of the things which you have spoken comes upon me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all of the things that thou hast told men to do of a physical nature, as well as those of a spiritual nature. Let us know that this is a day when what your Son taught so long ago is to be carried out. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. And we are thankful that the Word of God tells us ever so much about this baptism. And we pray that we shall understand it better after the message this morning. Thy Spirit is able to empower him who speaks and to give understanding to the hearts of those who listen. So let this be a profitable hour. We look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I have been baptizing people off and on for about 50 years now. So this is no new thing to me, but this is an old thing. But before I started baptizing people, I myself was baptized. But after that, when people were saved, they came and they said, "Uncle John, we want you to baptize us." And I baptized in baptistries like the one which will be used today. I baptized in rivers. I baptized in streams. I baptized in ponds. I baptized in a little bit of water that was so shallow that the brother that was being baptized had to get down on his knees so I could immerse him. And I tell you all of these things for the simple reason that it is not a particular kind of water, but it is simply water that is essential for baptism. And from what I've told you, you must understand that the baptism of which the Word of God speaks is immersion. When you read in Acts chapter 8 about the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, unless you want to be controversial, the matter comes to an end. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so Philip and the eunuch go down into the water. The eunuch is immersed in the water, and they both come up out of the water. Now, if you can, get sprinkling out of that. It's evident if you take the words as they are simply set forth before us, but I've seen that some people try to take the Greek and make it mean something else. But then I ask concerning this question, why does it say that John was baptizing in a certain place because there was much water there? How much water do you really need to sprinkle? You'll find that our Savior himself was immersed. It says that Jesus was baptized, and if you want the Greek, it says into the water and coming up out of the water. So what God expects is for a person to be immersed in water at a particular time in his life, and that time is after he has believed. There are two baptisms, physical baptisms, that are spoken of in the Scripture, the baptism of John and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the baptism he taught. They're both similar because they both have to do with repentance, and they both have to do with believing. The difference in John's baptism and Christ's baptism is this. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 19. He said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, telling people that they should believe on the Christ that was going to come. And so John's baptism was an anticipation. But our Lord Jesus Christ's baptism is a retrospect. It's not looking forward to something that's going to come, but it is looking forward to someone who has come, who has died and been raised from the dead. And that's the difference. John looked forward to something. Christian baptism is looking back to something. Why? Because when you are baptized, then you are united with Christ in death. And as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. So think of this now. John's baptism, yes, and that baptism was from heaven. If John's baptism was from heaven, then how much more is Christ's baptism from heaven? And concerning those who should be baptized, not everyone, but those who believe. You find in the scripture that it's always they believed and were baptized. In Matthew's gospel, after you make a disciple, after he believes, then he's baptized. You baptize them because it says, he that believeth and is baptized. Always in the scripture, you find that there are those who believe. And at whatever age, one of God's creatures is capable of believing, and there was a true belief in Christ, that is the time when that one should be baptized. I remember my wife was baptized not when she believed in Christ, but the old meetings years ago, when they professed faith in the Lord, they would make them wait ever so long and watch them, and after perhaps 5 or more years, they would say, well, it's time to baptize them. And I thought that was such a strange thing for this reason. If a person were 40 years old and said, I believe in Christ, would you watch them for 5 or 10 years and then say, well, perhaps this is the time to be baptized? Have you ever found anywhere in the Word of God that there was any delay in baptizing anyone, whatever the age might have been, who was able, capable of believing? You say no. But how do you know that person was a believer? You do not know that person is a believer. You have to take them at their word. And that is what the Scripture teaches us to do. If they profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your responsibility is next to baptize them, because God wants this thing done. So strange. So very strange. Why, when in my heart I have trusted Christ as Savior and my sins are forgiven, why after that is anything more to be done by the one who believes in Christ? Because God tells us to do it. God wants some physical representation of what has happened to us spiritually. It's the same way at the Lord's Supper. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and therefore I partake of the bread and of the fruit of the vine because the Lord Jesus told me to. But I trust in this Savior, yes, and I want you to show the first day of the week, as often as you break this bread and drink this cup, I want you to show my death until I come. The Lord wants a physical representation of what has happened spiritually in your heart. And that is why it is a baptism from heaven. Now, even the enemies of Christ were able to see the necessity of being baptized. The Lord Jesus asked them this question. He said, I will answer your question if you will answer me one question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? And they thought a moment and they said, if we say from heaven, his next question will be, why then did you not believe him? And all of you who say, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then, if the next command of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be baptized, why will you not believe him? And the scripture is unfamiliar of any such thing as one believing in Christ, but not being baptized in obedience to what Christ has taught in his word. It's a contradiction. Do you believe that Christ came from heaven? Yes. Well, then, do you believe that his teaching about baptism is from heaven? Yes. Well, then, why have you not submitted to Christian baptism? Whatever has taken place spiritually in your heart, God wants us to demonstrate outwardly, and he has told us just how it's to be done. For the same reason, God dwelleth not in houses made with hands, but he said to Moses, I want you to make me a tabernacle. I want some physical representation of the place that I dwell in the midst of Israel. And then, concerning the temple, God gave a pattern from heaven as to how that temple should be built, because God was going to dwell in that temple. And so all these things that spiritually occur, God says, I want them visibly seen. I want a building, a tabernacle, a temple for the Old Testament in which I'm to dwell. And he says, in like manner, if you have trusted my Son as Savior, I want it demonstrated by submission to baptism. And when you do that, you will manifest visibly to all who are looking upon that baptism that you died with Christ, you've been united with him in his death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you should walk in newness of life. It is just that simple. And if you have to wait until you are definitely certain that someone is a believer, well, how long would we have to wait to find out if he truly were a believer? 5 years? 10 years? How long? So what you do is to take the man upon his confession, and whether it's true or false, you baptize him. Now, I purposely gave you two examples of baptism. One that was a joyful occasion, and another one that was a terrifying occasion. Because this is what upsets me, that some of you here have probably been baptized and you're not saved at all. You believe the way that Simon the sorcerer believes. Why? It's just like this. I know some who have thought about the religions of the world, and Felix Mendelssohn was one, that great composer. He was a Jew, but he thought about his situation in life, and he said, I think that I can best get through life as a believer, as a Christian. And so he became a Christian for that reason. Not because he was convicted in his heart that Christ was the Savior of sinners, but he said, I believe that this is the best way. And in like manner, there are many who look at the Christian religion and they submit to baptism, and yes, I believe it. But there is a belief that is not saving belief. It is a simple outward acceptance that is not wrought of the Spirit of God, and that belief and that baptism will do you absolutely no good. That is why in Acts chapter 8, it says that Simon believed and he was baptized. And it soon was manifest the condition of his heart when he saw the power of Peter and John in laying hands upon those that were powerless and to impart to them the Spirit of God. Now, this is a contradiction. I want you to see two things. That God is interested in doing two things for men. First of all, getting evil spirits out of them and getting the Holy Spirit into them. And this is what happened when Philip and those that had that gift of exorcism, when they went and preached and walked for God, this is what happened. There were men that were possessed by evil spirits, and they had the power to command those spirits to come out. But God does not want an empty vessel. He wants a full vessel. And that vessel having been emptied of satanic influences, the next step was for that vessel to be filled with heavenly, divine influences, the Spirit of God. And the apostles were the ones at the first who had that power. And on occasion, it was necessary for them to come and pray and lay hands upon those that they truly believed before the Holy Spirit came. At other times, it was unnecessary. I emphasize this because now it is not an apostle who lays hands on your head and you receive the Holy Spirit, but God graciously and freely The moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ sends His Spirit to indwell your heart forever. This is what happened in Acts chapter 10. But Acts is a transition. It's a period of time when God is teaching, is developing, progress is being made in doctrine, and finally we understand that when a man trusts Christ as Savior, he is eternally indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And when this happens, his heart rejoices, he has power over sin, and he walks in newness of life. But there were some, like unto Simon, who professed to believe in Christ, but his profession was an empty profession. And I confess this, that when I was 12 years old, I was baptized, and I was a believer. I said it with my lips, but I was lost. I remember the minister before whom I stood. He said, "John Milton Mills, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" And I said, "Yes." And had he asked another question, "What do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" I would have told him anything you want me to believe, because I knew no more than that. And so I told him I believed, and so the man, and this time, it was a church in which he could put his hand in the font and put it on my head and baptize me. And then 7 years later, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I told the Father that I believed in His Son. I can remember to this day, and I've been saved for over 50 years, the prayer that I prayed to God. I've been going to a Bible study with my fellow Navy men. And it was so strange for this reason. Most of the time, my Navy buddies wanted to take me out on the towels and have a wild time. But there were some who invited me to come to a Bible study right after we ate lunch. And I refused so many times that it was embarrassing. And so finally, I agreed to come. And for the first time in my life, I learned how to be saved. They asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." They asked me another question that overcame me. And they said, "When were you born again?" And I said, "I do not even know what that means." And they could look at one another and say, "Well, we know what it means. This man isn't saved." And day by day, they went through the scriptures, not ministers of the gospel, but simple sailors that were true believers in Christ. And they read scriptures like this: "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I recall that for about 2 weeks I went to those Bible studies, and it finally dawned upon me that I was lost and I needed to be saved. And March 27, 1946, late at night, just before I went to bed, as a Navy boy, I knelt by my cot and prayed something like this. I said, "Lord," I said, "all my life I've tried to do good, and I've joined the church, and I thought that was the way of salvation. I thought it was something that I had to do for You that would make me saved. But I found from the Word of God that it's not what I do for You, but it's what You have done for me in Your Son dying for me on the cross. Lord, You told me that if I trust Your Son, my sins will be forgiven." I said, "Father, I trust Your Son as my Savior." And for the first time in my life, I went to bed and my sins were forgiven. And then, when I got back to Raleigh, North Carolina, the question was asked, "Have you been baptized?" And the answer was no. And they said, "Well, you should submit to Christian baptism." And immediately, I agreed. Why? Because my Savior, in whom I had believed, had given a command. He said, baptizing them. And I was baptized. And I can remember a few of those with whom I was baptized. And I rejoice that this baptism was true, and it has lasted for over 50 years, and it shall last until I get to heaven. So, there are some of us that learn of our guilt, and that learn of salvation through Jesus Christ the Lord, and that having trusted Him as Savior, the next step is to obey the Savior. And this is the ideal, that which I read to you from Acts chapter 8. Why should anyone have to be compelled to be baptized? When Isaiah 53 had been read and explained by Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, baptism was brought in. Now, if Christ was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, if you trust Him as Savior, you should submit to Christian baptism. And what was so delightful about this ideal example is that as they were going along, the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, nothing. And you'll find that in our King James Bible, the question says, if you truly believe in the Son of God, then you may be baptized. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was baptized. Now, it said he went on his way rejoicing. So this is the ideal. For a man to hear the gospel of the grace of God, to learn that he's a sinner, and that Christ is the Savior of sinners, and immediately that he learns what Jesus has done for him, he wants to do what Jesus told him to do for his Lord. And he submits to Christian baptism. How quickly? He said, here is water. Do you realize that there are some who think that there is a special water that is necessary in which you are to be baptized? That is why I told you of all the different waters in which I baptize people. And it's not the water that does any actual cleansing from sin. It ritually does the job. And this is what some Christians fail to understand. Grasp this, that baptism washes away your sins. How? Not actually. There's only one thing that can actually wash away your sins. That is the precious blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. But symbolically, there is only one thing that can wash away your sins, and that is Christian baptism in water. It's like this. You say, I can remember the Lord Jesus in my heart. The Savior took bread and the fruit of the vine. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Yes, you can remember Him in your heart. But the Savior said, bread and the fruit of the vine. And that symbolizes what is actual, what happened on the cross of Calvary. The body of Christ bore our sins, and the blood of Christ was shed, and it cleanses us from our sins. That is the actual. But the Lord says, this is the symbol, and we partake of it. Now, in like manner, the actual is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from sin. But He says, now, symbolically, this water is washing away your sins. The water can do nothing actually. But symbolically, it shows what has happened to you spiritually. And also, it is a promise of things to come. Thank God for baptism. It tells me of my past, that I was a sinner, and that I died for my sins with Christ. And then it tells me of my future. It tells me from that day forward, I'm to walk in newness of life. And just as Enoch of old walked with God, I am to walk in newness of life until the time when Jesus Christ comes. And what can be more blessed than to have a life that has been forgiven of its sins? To have this day fellowship with God your whole life long, and then at the end of the journey, know that Jesus Christ is waiting for you to take you to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, that is what I want symbolized. When you trusted me in your heart as Savior, I want you to manifest it by submitting to water baptism. And that is what we do. Now, I told you that the only good thing that I could ever say about myself is this, that when I heard God's way of salvation, I was not like the Pharisees and the lawyers. And this will emphasize the importance of baptism and at the same time the insignificance of baptism. If God tells me something to do, I justify God by doing. And I fail to justify God by not doing. That's why I read to you Luke chapter 7. Thank God for that portion. Because some people say, it's all something that you do spiritually in your heart that justifies. But it says this, that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God. How? Not being baptized. I see. And so baptism, in one sense, justifies God. How? When I submit to water baptism, I'm justifying God. God said, repent and be baptized. And when I say yes, and I submit to baptism, I justify God. I say, you are right. And if God tells me to be baptized, and I say no, then I reject for myself the counsel of God. And that is what the Pharisees and the lawyers did. And so for this reason, if you tell me, well, I'm a believer, but I've never been baptized, I have no confidence that you're saved. So baptism will do absolutely nothing getting you to heaven, but it will show something. It's like taking the bread and the fruit of the vine. It says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. It is showing something. And your baptism will not save your soul, but thank God at least it is a physical, outward sign that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Lord Jesus said, this is what I want all men to do. To be baptized without believing, no salvation. To be baptized and to have a heart that has not truly believed as Simon is no salvation. But to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized is a complete salvation. You understand that you are not a complete Christian until you are baptized? Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, not only to believe on me, but be baptized. And if you've only believed on him, then you're not a complete Christian, because he wants you to be baptized as well. And just as the Lord's Supper shows his death and is anticipatory of his coming again, so submission to Christian baptism shows that you died with Christ, that when he died, you died, and by the grace of God from this day forward, you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ expects it of every one. And so you can be baptized and be lost, and you can believe and not be baptized and be saved, but you're an imperfect Christian. I remember the thief on the cross. He believed in the Lord Jesus, and the Savior said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I remember that paralytic that was let down through the roof. The Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. I remember the woman in Luke chapter 7 who was washing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Sins forgiven before they were baptized. But those who truly believe and love the Lord Jesus in their hearts, having believed, will be baptized. And then they are complete Christians. And so, what are you? Paul said two things. He asked two questions, and the Lord Jesus answered those questions, and this was his reply after Christ spoke to him. On the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, this is what I will have you to do. And Saul of Tarsus said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, God has a heavenly instruction for you to be baptized. And having been baptized, to live out the truth of that symbol. So, walk in newness of life and be a complete Christian. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that in the wisdom of your Son, He has told us to believe in Him, but He's also told us to be baptized. And the Scriptures teach us the significance of these things. And we're glad for every baptism because it means that someone has professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also tells us that they're prepared to take the next step and not only to trust in the Savior, but to obey His command. And that is what we are to observe presently in Thy will, someone submitting to Christ's instruction to be baptized. So, our Father, we pray that it shall not be a dead ritual, but it shall be a ritual full of significance, that all of us who look upon this baptism, who have been baptized, will think back when we were baptized and shall consider whether we've been obedient to the meaning of that baptism. And those who say, yes, I believed in Christ, that they shall see their disobedience and shall see that they should be baptized. So by Thy Spirit, work in all our hearts. We pray the blessing upon all who are here and for the baptism that is at hand. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.